Welcome to After Dark with Rob and Andrew on America Out Loud, available on iHeartRadio, Spotify, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, or Pandora. Or you can head on over to the website, AmericaOutLoud.com, and check out the articles and podcasts, and please share those on social media. We have a lot to discuss tonight with friend of the show and social media personality, Sean G. In our first half, we will be giving you some hard-hitting discussion on the news going on in the world today. In the second half, we are going to talk about several recent headlines you may have missed, so you definitely want to stay tuned for those. Strap in, buckle your seatbelt, or stay reclined in that sofa. You don't want to miss any of tonight's show. And you know something that's been catching my eye in the news recently is the Biden administration is ramping up talks about mandating vaccines. Joe Biden said that he prefers that local or state governments mandate it first, or jobs and whatnot. But if they do not do it, he does feel like the federal government can possibly step in. He says he is looking into that right now. Obviously, cases are going up in several states. Florida's around 30,000 cases a day currently. Vaccinated people may actually be super spreaders, is what we are hearing as well. Rob, what are your thoughts on what is going on with this coronavirus? We thought it would be gone by now. We thought things would get better with the vaccine, but here we are, still gloom and doom from the liberal media, and it does not look like any positive news is on the horizon.
What are my thoughts? Everyone will eventually, unfortunately, possibly get COVID-19, also known as a China virus. Depending on your health, if you don't have any underlying comorbidities, you will live. Look at it like the common cold, as President Trump once said. Now, that being said, if you are in a high-risk bucket, it might be a little more harsher on you than, let's say, myself. But again, you will live. Speak with your doctor, talk to your doctor to find out the steps you should take, preventative steps like Healthy Cell, what we talk about here all the time. And if you use promo code OUTLOUD, you can get 20% off your first order. Aside from that, there are other things that you can do. Exercise, eat right. If you're overweight, pull back from the table. Stop eating a whole gallon of ice cream. Stop eating the entire bucket of KFC. And if that doesn't help you, pray. And I'm serious about it. You got to pray. The media has definitely scared a lot of people with this virus. And if Joe Biden really wants unity, don't you think, Andrew, he would reach out to President Trump and say, let's just do a PSA together and encourage people to take the vaccine? After all, it was Joe and Kamala, along with the media and big tech, that put the fear of God in everyone, because they were going to lose the election, and they should have lost the election. But once they realized that their little whole thing with colluding to steal the election was going to win, they decided to take a step back. But before then, they came out and they said they would not trust the vaccine if it came from Trump. Well, they said it because they were going to lose the election. Once they found out that their little plot to steal the election was going to work, they flipped the script. And then they were going to claim that they put the vaccine out. Because remember, during the first couple of weeks of when Joe Biden took office, he was saying that they did the vaccine, gave Trump no credit whatsoever. When they started looking at the numbers and started seeing the numbers weren't what they wanted, they started slowly backing off of that. But then they came back on it when they said, we're going to have everyone vaccinated by this time frame, half of the population or what have you. When it didn't happen, they went back to blaming Trump. It's Trump and it's Trump supporters. No, it's not Trump supporters. It's Biden supporters. Well, you look at the red states, you look at Florida. Okay, let's look at Florida. Young people don't want to take the vaccine because they were told that they were immune. Yeah, but then you look at the areas where Trump folks are. Okay, in those red states, there are Democratic, liberal counties and cities. They're not taking the vaccine. You have a lot of African Americans, I hate to say that, but Blacks aren't taking the vaccine. It's in a red state, but they're in the red state and they're not taking the vaccine. So we need to back up off of this. It's Trump supporters. It's not Trump supporters. They're Biden supporters that aren't taking the vaccine. And they're not taking the vaccine because Biden and Harris came out and said that they didn't trust the vaccine. Now they want to say they want to trust it. And if you don't take it, they're going to force it on you. They're going to literally tie you down and jab you in the shoulder. This is Biden's making. Biden created this mess. So what he needs to do is pick up the phone, eat some humble pie, eat crow, and ask President Trump to do a PSA announcement with him saying, take the vaccine, people. It's not the all to be all, but it could possibly help you. That's what he should do, and admit to the folks that he and Kamala were out of their space when they came out saying that they wouldn't trust it. Plain and simple. You don't see him reaching out to Obama, asking Obama to come out and tell people to do it. No, Obama is busy trying to plan his 60th birthday party with movie stars and entertainers and all the elitists in the country. He could care less about who's dying. So again, pick up the phone, Joe Biden. Eat humble pie. And reach out to President Trump and ask him to do a PSA with you. Sean, what do you say?
Well, first of all, thank you both for having me on here. It's good to see and hear everybody again, Andrew and Rob. So thank you again. I would start off by saying, kind of going off on your points regarding this, is things started pretty much in March of 2020, right? And it's been about a year and a half of where we've seen these rules, regulations, mandates, if you will, and the rules keep changing. And there's a genuine frustration amongst everybody, people on the right and the left, for that matter, you know, because they told us going back to last year, well, the masks work. Well, do they really work? Well, pretty much not. You know, then it's the discussion about the vaccine. Do the vaccines work? Well, maybe, maybe not. And now we're getting different cases where in some state, they're saying, oh, it's the unvaccinated that are filling up the hospitals. In another state, it's the vaccinated who are. So what are we, you know, here to really believe? And as we go forward here, you're going to see, you know, the continued differences between the red state and blue state, especially with these governors, you know, the stronger governors that we've seen in like Florida with Ron DeSantis. Right. That's kind of been like the gold standard of what, you know, you should do as far as measures go. Right. And then we have these blue states, the extremes, the Michigans and New York and California, where they bring back these mandates. And the people there, even the ones on the left, are saying, really, here we go again, because many of these people, as you had mentioned, they did get the vaccine. But now they're being told you still have to wear a mask inside. Well, in that case, what good did that vaccine do? You know, and things keep changing. It brings back one of my favorite kids' books, from a book from Dr. Seuss called The Sneetches, if you remember that one. Everybody was a sneetch, right? And then what happened is the rules kept changing, where some of the sneetches had a star on their belly and some of the sneetches did not. And those that had the stars, well, they were the popular ones, the accepted ones, the cool ones. But then they had came up with a machine to change things around. And then the ones that did not have a star in their belly, well, they were the cool ones. What did that do? It basically divided everybody over something very stupid, like is a star on your belly. And it reminds me of that. And it's a kid's book. Granted, it's one of the most valuable books that I can take in as an adult right now, and it reminds me a lot of what's going on right now today in this chaos.
And it is chaos. It's complete chaos. With do this, take it off, wear 12 masks, wear one mask. And as you said, Sean, we were told that if you get the vaccine, you're covered. You're free to roam around. But now, oh no, even vaccinated people should wear the mask. And not only that, I heard just the other day, the new Surgeon General said that parents should wear the mask at home around their children. Can you imagine? You're walking at home in your own residents, and you've got to put on a repressive mask because you could give it to the kids. Stop it. Okay, let's just stop it. Eventually, everyone will possibly get COVID-19, the China virus, or the Delta variant. And it's like, as Trump said, the common cold. People made fun of him. But when we start looking at this and really analyzing it, and we don't have anyone who could truthfully analyze it for us, we have to do it ourselves. We've got to go and do the studies, because the people coming out of Biden's White House, they're biased. They don't want the truth to come out. Why is it, guys, that they never tell us or give us the numbers of the people that have had the virus and survived? We only hear about, as you said, Sean, doom and gloom. This person died, that person died. A year back, we were all looking out the windows to see who was going to fall down on the ground and die. Literally. I mean, it was as if people were just going to start falling out. Oh, I got it. I'm dead. It was crazy. When I would go to the store, I would look around like, who's going to pass out? Who's coughing? Who's going to drop dead? Because that was the message, Andrew, that we were getting.
Yeah, and we constantly hear this stat that like 99% of the people that are dying from coronavirus are the ones that are unvaccinated. Well, that could be true, but the truth is we really don't know, because the CDC numbers have not been updated since April. So we really don't know the effectiveness of the vaccine just yet, but based on the CDC numbers. We're seeing a real game now with Republican governors and Democrat governors, and I don't think there's ever been a time in America where it makes such a difference to whether you live in a red state or a blue state. We see New Mexico and several other liberal states mandate vaccinations or frequent testing for all state workers. And now you see Texas, whose governor has banned mask and vaccination mandates for the workplaces. So just the difference is absolutely astonishing. The Republican states, you've got the freedom of choice, whether you want to take the vaccine or wear a mask. Here in Republican or in Democrat states, they're once again doubling up on trying to mandate people do things that they don't want to do. And as we've seen in all throughout 2020, it did not work.
Didn't work, and it's not going to work now. And with this whole masking and scaring people to wear the mask, we need someone to just come out and just break it down to us what's actually happening. This White House is not going to do it for us. I know some would say, well, Trump's White House didn't do it either. Well, for one, I think they need to get rid of Dr. Fraud. Start there. Get rid of him. The guy is a cancer. And I hate to say that word, use it so loosely. But he's constantly morphing and undermorphing and changing. And they need to just get rid of him. Now, I know the left won't do it, because the way they look at it is that, well, he did do a good job at one point, and he did do this. And if you guys remember, Trump, when he got into office, he made it easy to fire these government officials. I know that's something else I wish he had done, Trump, is to fire that little man. That should have been his last act, leaving the White House. Dr. Fauci, you're fired. Now, of course, Joe would have went back and hired him, but still, it would have been on the record that he got fired. And rightfully so, because we don't need him there confusing the masses. Now, I don't know where Dr. Birch is, but I'm sure she's somewhere wandering around with her mini scarves. Now, she claimed that she was going to retire or step down once it was known that she and her family were planning all these extravagant vacations, and she was telling us to stay inside. Now, I just came across a news feed that Barack Obama, whom I just said earlier, is not out telling people anything about the virus. He's getting ready to plan this big shindig for his birthday. No, what about the virus? What about keeping people at a minimum? Rules for thee, not for me.
Yeah, you're exactly right. And we just saw that again recently. Mayor Lori Lightfoot of Chicago attended Lollapalooza, which is a massive music festival. And now she's also at the same time talking about mask mandates and forced vaccinations for all city workers. So the hypocrisy of these people is quite apparent, and it seems like they don't even try to hide it.
And then there's lovely Rochelle Walensky. the director of the CDC. I don't know when she got there. The next thing I know, she was there talking and pontificating, getting confused, sending out mixed messages. Who knows where the truth is, Sean? I mean, I can't figure it out.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, to your point with Lori Lightfoot, right? And, you know, her slogan throughout this whole time was, I ain't playing. That was like her main, you know, thing. So she ain't playing. And, you know, but she can go to Lollapalooza because she wants to go see some of the acts there, you know, but to you and me, well, she ain't playing. And Chicago's been one of those cities, you know, we've seen it. It was on mass lockdown, but that hasn't stopped the growing amounts of shootings and gun violence there. So that really hasn't worked out for the lovely Mayor Lightfoot, right? And then in addition to that, you know, we're getting, you know, on the things like social media, if you speak out, like questioning something like the vaccine, you're going to get flagged and then you're going to get, you know, banned, suspended from things like Facebook for only doing things like actually just, you know, hey, let's call this into question. Are we sure about this? In addition, you know, we've been told over and over again, what do they say? Follow the science, follow medicine, follow those science and medical experts. Well, that's nice and all, but they have their own agendas and it's their own political agendas. And they're with things like big pharma and money, and that these, you know, the CDC and the vaccine companies are paying things like Facebook and Twitter to push these vaccines. If you go on a dating app right now, you can change your status on a dating app to I'm vaccinated. Come find me, you know, and it's really getting crazy, really getting scary out there, the kind of things that they're really trying to do, especially with these social media and sites. It's really quite scary right about now.
I like what you said on your dating sites. I'm vaccinated. I'm going to get, if you want a good time, come find me, baby. Here I am. I'm vaxxed. It's like, are you serious? That's how you're going to attract someone because you're vaxxed? Okay, what about venereal diseases? Do you got that? Are you free from that? But hey, I've got the vaccines, so I'm ready to go. But back to Mary, Lori Lightfoot. I forgot that whole thing with, we ain't playing with you. We are serious. We will find you. We will bring you out. We will drag you in the public square and we'll point the finger at you. So you better keep that mask on and you better do this. Oh yeah, bye Felicia. Give it a break. I mean, her claim to fame is that she was the first Black lesbian mayor of Chicago. Whoop-de-doo. But look at what's happening to Chicago. Not only is hit by COVID-19, but look at the violence. So sit down, Felicia, bye. Big Pharma. That was a great point, Sean, because they have a vested interest in keeping this thing going. The government has paid them billions of dollars. Look at their stock prices. So they're going to keep saying, oh, you need to take a booster shot. You need to take this shot. You need to take that shot. So that they could keep the money rolling. Okay, now as far as big tech shutting people down, it is disgraceful that neither side of the aisle, Republicans nor Democrats, have pushed back. And this is where it really counts. This is when you know if your representatives are working for you. Because what big tech is doing, putting its head in the middle of public policy, it's like, well, you're a public company or you're a private company. Why are you intermingling with the government? And there's something else that should be noted that I think a lot of people have forgotten about. And of course, the media won't bring it up unless it was in Trump's White House. A lot of the folks that worked on Biden's transition team came from Facebook and Twitter. And they were helping him during the election. Once he got into office, once he stole the election and they helped him steal it, some of these folks are embedded in his White House. So they have a major say into policies. So he's able to just call them up or his folks and say, hey, we want big tech to do this. We don't want them to say this. We don't want this to happen. And it's an easy lift for them. We can't forget about that because that's important to realize that a lot of folks from big tech helped Biden, and they've now transitioned to his White House. If you were to pull back the curtains, peel back the onions, you would see a lot of the big players in Biden's White House, and the media will say absolutely nothing about it because they like the idea that he is able to push his policies through as far as COVID and keep people quiet because big tech is working in the White House. And people say, well, who's the president? Well, Obama is the president, you silly geese. He's the president. Biden is just a puppet. He's telling them what to do and what not to do. Obama even said it. So while I'm saying, why isn't he coming out and saying anything about COVID-19, also known as the China virus, well, he's saying a lot through Biden, who has to have his talking points on a cue card. So Obama is in the White House. Right now, he's on Martha's Vineyard, and he's phoning in everything that Biden should do. Biden is so weak and feeble, he doesn't realize it. Just the other day, he was mumbling and grumbling about the COVID-19. I mean, and he clearly said, the question was put to him, are you guys going to mandate? Because the media wants him to mandate that the country has to take the vaccine. They want that. They are dying for that. You would think they would leave people alone, but they won't. They want him to mandate, and the government can do it. In the times of a pandemic, the government can say, you have to do this. But his party knows, not his party, but his administration knows, we got to be careful because you're yet to get the FDA to buy into this. And why hasn't the FDA just gone ahead and just say, hey, we're going to give it the clearance? What more could they do besides create more red tape? They're not doing any substantive testing. What are they waiting for? They won't be sued. Why are they dragging their feet on this? I mean, that's the question that a real media would ask. Where is the FDA? If the FDA is the assurance that people need to take the vaccine, why won't the FDA just come out and approve it? Just say, we approve it. What is the delay? Why won't Biden lean on them and get them to do it? I can't figure that out, guys. It's like the million-dollar question.
Yeah, all excellent points, Rob. And what we're been seeing from the Biden administration from the get-go is mixed messages on this COVID vaccine. A lot of people thought from the start that the vaccinations were going to come out, the people that were high risk would get vaccinated, and then the people who didn't want to get vaccinated would be left alone at some point because all the high-risk people would be vaccinated and they should be safe. And then the people that didn't want to get vaccinated would have that choice. But now we are hearing that everybody has to be vaccinated. If you're not vaccinated, you're still killing people, according to the liberal media. But what we're hearing in several news stories now is that vaccinated people are just as easily exposed to the Delta variant as unvaccinated people. So the vaccinated people are actually spreading the coronavirus at the same rate as someone that would be unvaccinated. So it's very interesting to see what is going on. And the messaging has been terrible from the get-go from the Biden administration.
Completely terrible. And it will always be that way. But like you said, they're now saying that we, people who have been vaccinated, could give it to the unvaccinated, as opposed to the unvaccinated given to those who have been vaccinated. It's just a complete disaster in the making. And as I said earlier on, Biden was going to try to steal the credit for this whole vaccine and say that it was his administration that gave us the vaccine. But once they saw that there were missteps along the way, they decided to push it back on Trump. And now they want to push it on him and blame him and saying that it's because of him that people don't want to get vaccinated. Again, all he has to do is pick up the bloody phone and say, Mr. Trump, will you please make a PSA with me? And let's just tell the people to get the vaccination. What harm would it do if he were to reach out to him? Biden can't bring people together. He claims he's Mr. Unity. He's not Mr. Unity. He's Mr. Division and subtraction. Pick up the phone, by God. And that's another thing. Jill probably doesn't want him to pick up the phone. And why won't she pick up the phone and call Melania? Well, she's jealous of Melania. She knows that Melania would outshine her. She would want Melania to wear a potato sack while she's in these like lemon dresses. This administration is so flawed. Flawed from day one. They should have never been in the office. Flawed in that they're completely messing up the social fabric of the country and now the medical aspect of the country, because they're too prideful and too boastful. And the Bible tells us what happens with pride. Pride comes before the fall. Okay, so these people need to get it together. They're too prideful. They can't eat humble pie. They don't want to. They'd rather see the country tank medically and socially and economically, because that's literally what's happening here when you look at it. That's what's happening. It's not about Trump's folks not taking the vaccine. They could care less. And since they don't like Trump's folks, and if they're not taking it, just let them die. But it's not about that, folks. That's not what it's about. Biden has failed, and they don't want to admit it. All he has to do is make a phone call, since he wants so many people vaccinated. But instead, he will infringe on your constitutional rights. Remember, he said that his Department of Justice is looking to see if the government can mandate it. And during the times of a pandemic, the government can. So he's trying to make certain that he's on solid grounds before he comes out and says, this is what you're going to do. I mean, they're already saying, well, people shouldn't be allowed to go into stores. They shouldn't be allowed to fly on an airplane. They should have to produce the car. They should have to reproduce this. And that's just the beginning. Once they tell you, you have to produce it, you have to show a card in order to get into your job, in order to work, once the dust has settled, it'll be something else. You have to produce a card to show that you've done this. Now, while we're producing all these cards to show that we've vaccinated, why can't people produce a card to show that they're registered to vote? You see what I'm saying, folks?
Yeah, really good point there.
Go ahead, Sean.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, as you were mentioning out here, you know, first of all, with these vaccines, well, many people have had the vaccine several months ago, possibly even closer to, you know, going back to last year. And well, how long is the vaccine good for then? You know, because this gets us into, well, it's about time for your booster shot. And what is that even going to entail? In addition to that, with these things called the variants and the Delta variant, right? In the history of what we know from like viruses or flu or whatever else, the variant is different than the, you know, original virus, but the pattern is it's not ever as strong. So this is a weaker strain in all likelihood of COVID or whatever else you want to call it. So, you know, in that regard, it would give you an even higher chance of survival and really could reduce this to what we know as, you know, closer to a common cold. You know, I had a cold this past year. Could it have been COVID? Maybe. We'll never know. And it, you know, it's just, it's the frustration. And like you said, you know, who's running the Biden regime? Is it Biden? No, it's anybody but Biden. And, you know, you've got the puppet masters on the, you know, the deep state, the bad side. Obama is a puppet master there. We can only hope that wherever Trump is right now, we have the puppet masters on the good side as well, kind of, you know, ready to step in and, you know, make things get right once again. We'll just have to wait and see.
Yeah, good point, Sean. Great discussion this first half. And you are tuned into After Dark with Rob and Andrew, available on America Out Loud via iHeartRadio, Spotify, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, or download the America Out Loud app to keep track of all the great shows. We will be back with more Rob and Andrew on After Dark.
Because of COVID-19, the average American worries about their immune health four times a day. That's 112 times per year. To minimize the worries, leading nutritional supplement company, Healthy Cell, created Immune Super Boost, an immune supplement that contains 15 full doses of science-backed nutrients like vitamin C, zinc, elderberry, and echinacea, all in a one-a-day pill-free gel pack. It tastes great, is convenient on the go, and it's more natural too, without chemical binders, fillers, and coatings. Supporting a strong and resilient immune system can be simple. Go to HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off your first order of Immune Super Boost That's HealthyCell.com, HEALTHYCELL, and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
Today, America stands at the crossroads of history. Our actions will determine the fate of our nation. Well, that journey starts here and starts now. We invite you to join us in making the ultimate difference. Subscribe to our podcast and newsletters. Turn notifications on and stay in the know. You'll find all that back at AmericaOutLoud.com. Liberty and justice for all.
Welcome back to After Dark with Rob and Andrew. We are joined by Sean G., friend of the show, and we've got a lot to talk about this second half, as we promised. The first thing I want to talk about is that after just 6 months, a new poll has revealed from Telegraph that Kamala Harris is the least popular vice president since the 1970s. As we all remember, Sleepy Joe Biden put Kamala Harris in charge of the border, which was not doing her any favors because it has been an absolute disaster. Over a million illegals that we know about have already come into our country since the Biden administration has come into power. So Kamala Harris's low poll numbers do not surprise me. The lowest approval rating for a vice president since the 1970s. Rob, are you surprised at Kamala Harris's low approval?
I'm not surprised at all, because if we think back before the election when she was running, she stepped out of the race, the primaries, before the first primary. She was getting no traction, and that was thanks to Tulsi Gabbard. Initially, she was the candidate to beat. Everyone was excited that she was running. She said the first Black woman. She was Black at the time. And then somehow she morphed into being the first Asian, then Black Asian, you know, all these different iterations that the Democrats come up with identity politics. But she was a person to beat. During the debates, they said, oh, she's strong. She's this, she's that. And Barack Obama loved her. So she was just going to sail straight through. But she had nothing behind her other than the fact that she slept her way through the top thanks to Willie Brown, the mayor of San Francisco. There's nothing wrong with that. Okay, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that her sleeping around, that there's anything wrong with it, because guys do it all the time. I mean, Trump had many lovers. The only difference is that the media tried to make a big deal out of Trump's and his lovers. But with Kamala, it was like she was off limits. But she's not off limits here, because she did sleep around. And she slept around with a married man. And again, I am not condemning her. I am not saying she was a bad woman. To each his own. But that being said, she did drop out of the primaries before the first primary, because she was getting no traction thanks to Tulsi Gabbard, when she dealt her that severe blow and ended her parade, and rightfully so. Because if she was a true candidate, she would have been able to bounce back and been able to defend herself. But she couldn't, and she didn't. So I am not at all surprised. And even look at her staff. They're leaking that she's a mean person. She's a mean girl. And then people saying, well, who's leaking this? That must be Trump. Trump is not in the White House. Her staff is leaking this because they see through her. They know that she's a mean girl. She is She's empty heels. She has these high heels and they're empty because she has no substance, Andrew. That's my take.
Yeah, well said there, Rob. I mean, you know, as going back to your discussion, talking about Kamala originally, that, you know, she was the least popular of the Democratic candidates when they had going back to the primary, you know, before the last election. And to think that like her being the least popular out of those candidates would be make for the ideal vice president is just plain ridiculous at this point. And it's like they were trying too hard to say, oh, we got to get a minority, or is she Black or not? Well, she's a woman. We've got that going for us, right? But they're trying too hard to check off those boxes. And it was back when Biden was like looking to pick a vice president candidate. It was like we already knew it had to be a minority woman. So once you know, pigeonhole yourself that much, Kamala and not that many other options are available. You know, somebody like Stacey Abrams then became a candidate. Now, who I was worried about if she actually were to run, but she didn't, is if somebody like, let's say, Oprah ran as a Democrat. because all her money and power, she would have been a very viable candidate and a minority and a woman. Now, I'm glad she never has, because, I wouldn't want her in a position of power. But she would be a dangerous candidate if I'm, talking from our conservative side and others.
No, that's interesting that you would say that, because I never saw Oprah as being a viable candidate. Yes, she has a lot of money, and I guess that would have, factored in. But I don't think she would have been able to capture the Black vote, because every venture that she's gone out on, she's failed as far as capturing them, and then she's had to recalibrate. So, but that's interesting, because I never saw her as being a potential candidate.
Yeah, very few people can pull off what President Donald Trump did, going from the celebrity realm into politics and winning. So moving on to some more news, Republicans Matt Gaetz, Marjorie Taylor Greene, and Louie Gohmert were turned away from the D.C. Department of Corrections, where they tried to visit accused January 6 rioters. The officers said that they were obstructing the entrance into the facility and they were trespassing is why they were locked out. I think this is ridiculous. Members of our Congress should be able to speak to these people who are labeled rioters, insurrectionists, and see exactly how they are being treated and what is going on with their current situation. But they seem to be in hiding. Rob, did you see the video of Gaetz, Green, and Gohmert being locked out?
Absolutely. I was shocked. I don't understand it. I think this was a Democrat ploy. They purposefully got in contact with whomever was in charge and said, don't let them in. And we should all be concerned that this is happening in our government. Within the confounds of our government, there is an underlying belly of folks who are obstructing justice, obstructing what should be happening in our government. It's a well-organized operation, and it's unfortunate. I don't know how we're going to stop it, how we're going to end it, and if we're able to, if anyone will be held accountable. I mean, I'm just going to be honest with you. I don't trust the government at this state. I don't. Because there are too many players that are there that are acting out against the government. They should have been allowed to go through those doors and visit with the prisoners, those political prisoners. And that's what I'm going to say. They're political prisoners. I don't care if it was staged. I don't care if they went unannounced. But to tell them that they were trespassing, United States senators and representatives are trespassing? What is going on? How was Nancy Pelosi able to get so much power? Well, you got people like Kevin McCarthy, who's weak. He wants to be the Speaker of the House. I hope he does not get it. Then you got these knuckleheads that are going to sign up on the infrastructure bill.
2,700 pages.
And no one has read them. So why do you think the Democrats are constantly steamrolling over Republicans? But there should have been an uproar that these government officials could not go in and see those political prisoners. Why are those people being held? What the heck did they do? The people at Guantanamo Bay were treated better than our American citizens. The people that are coming across the border are being treated better than our American citizens. And what did those individuals do? Absolutely nothing. Now, I know that some of you would say, oh, well, they invaded the White House and that was a shame and that was this. Forget about it. Because what happened during the spring and summer of 2020 with police officers being attacked, David Dorn murdered. We saw it on camera, on video. Police stations were burned down. Cities were burned. And then you want to tell me that you have those individuals in jail and a representative can't go and see them because they're trespassing? I don't think so. I don't think so. And we should all be up in arms. We should all be storming the Capitol. Yes, I said it. We should all be storming the Capitol and demanding justice and demanding that the people who are there come out. Nancy Pelosi. I mean, they're getting away with murder. They're turning this country upside down and they're making a mockery of our justice system and our laws, including Christopher Wray. He should not be the FBI director. He's behind all of this. And if any of those individuals that are locked up were to come out and say, well, we went to the White House because Donald Trump told us to. Yes, he said, go there peacefully. He didn't start this. And if you want to say he started, what about Nancy Pelosi and Maxine Waters saying that people should be out rioting in the streets? Kamala Harris said the same thing. But they want us to believe something different? Well, I'm going to quote the Bible. The Bible clearly says that they will believe a lie rather than the truth. We are living in the last days, my brothers and sisters, the very last days, and we need to wake up.
Yeah, well said, Rob. I mean, I think that, you know, when you get to what the media's talking points are now, it's, of course, this COVID, you know, crisis they're bringing up once again. And in addition, it is that January 6th thing. They bring it up once again, like it's clockwork. And first of all, you know, January 6th, you know, they talk about all these people storming the Capitol, right? Well, I mean, who was in charge of the Capitol? Because any building of that level would have high security where you'd be able to thwart any attack such as that. And then many of these people that have been arrested or held captive right now were just simply people there, you know, in attendance, not necessarily committing any criminal acts. If the Capitol was already open, then yeah, people walked into it. But if you saw some of that video, you know, if it were some people were there just like taking pictures of stuff, and it was all really weird, but also it felt very staged as well, because there's no way the Capitol is going to have that little of security. Okay, your local city hall has better security than the U.S. Capitol did that day. Your local shopping mall or public library has better security than the Capitol did that day. And then, you know, I heard this testimony from some officer that was on duty there. You know, it was a Black officer, and he said, somebody called me the N-word, and no one had called me that before. And I'm so disgruntled. I'm so sad. I'm so, you know, I can't be contained because of this. Meanwhile, it turns out that same officer was seen as an Obama / Biden supporter booster. So what do you think that person's agenda is, you know, in his fragile ego that was damaged by being called a racial slur allegedly at the Capitol? So it's just, it's really just gone out of control at this point, and it's almost laughable.
He was a joke. That officer that you're talking about, he was a joke. No one ever called me the N-word. Okay, then I hope you're not listening to rap music, and I hope you weren't listening to the Black Lives Matter people or Antifa, because I have the video. You can go to megamedia.org, or you can go to Facebook, After Dark with Rob and Andrew, and I have Antifa members up in the faces of these Black officers calling them everything except a child of God, as they would say. So he's just new to the block, I guess. But he's a complete newbie living under a rock, because police officers have been called worse in their face. And if anyone was calling him that, they were probably Antifa disguised as a Trump supporter. Give me a break, just like Jesse Sommelier saying to someone, say, MAGA country, please. Again, bye, Felicia.
Yeah, these people always seem to have ties to Democrat politicians. We all remember Jesse Smollett and his close relationship with Kamala Harris. And as Sean mentioned, this police officer who was at the Capitol, he was photographed at least a couple of years ago with Nancy Pelosi. And here he is testifying how horrified he was on January 6th. Always connections to Democrat members. Really interesting. Continuing on News After Dark, I can't even believe I'm about to read this next headline, but it is a true story. According to the Mercury News, 19-year-old Boston man arrested for sexually assaulting a horse. Police arrested a Boston teen for allegedly breaking into a Norfolk farm and sexually assaulting a horse. It was all caught on camera. Jackson Z. Kelly, a 19-year-old who lives in Alston, turned himself into authorities after a video came out with the horse, and he broke and entered into the stable and was charged with cruelty to animals. Unbelievable. I would not be surprised if this was one of these guys that we've seen breaking into a Louis Vuitton or a Rolex last year, stealing all kinds of merchandise. I mean, what kind of person does it take to do something like this? Rob, what are your thoughts on this story?
I can tell you easily. What kind of person does it take? It takes a Biden supporter. I bet the person was a Democrat. And that's one of the missing things that we always see when we hear these stories. Whenever I see some wacky story like that, the first thing that enters my mind is that I bet they voted Democrat. And a majority of them do and did. And people think that, oh, well, that's a Trump. No, no, no. Half of these people identify with being a Democrat. And if they say that they're Republican, they're only saying it so that the Democrats don't get a bad rap. But if you go and look at their voting records, you would see that half of these people, half of the Karens out there are Democrats. The Felicias are Democrats. All these people that are doing all these bad things are Democrats. They're bored. They have nothing else to do. They vote Democrat. Now, that's not to say that you don't have some conservatives that are out there that are doing these some of these wackadoodle things. But I would venture to say and safely say that a majority of them are Democrats. When they go in and press that lever, it's for the Democrats. So go figure.
Yeah. Sean, you live in the farmland over there in Ohio. You guys get many stories like
well, not necessarily of that bizarre, but what I will say is, like, it's gotten to the point where nothing really surprises me anymore. So sadly, in a way, a story like that does not surprise me, because so many of these things, these horrific sexual acts and stuff, have become so much more normalized by what the left wants to do. So something like that is probably seen by them as like, oh, that's really not that bad, or that's really not that bizarre. And it's the same people that are trying to normalize these types of behaviors with children as well, and questioning, you know, the genders and the and sexuality, and how there's no boundaries with sexuality. And this is the stuff that goes right into the left's hands anyway. You know, they're losing the sense of morals. And whoever this guy was with this incident with a horse, well, depending on who the judge is, he might get off really easy and be back out on the streets, you know, within just a few months, terrorizing other horses or other farm animals or whatever he is into. And it's this, you know, normalization where, you know, they want to say, oh, this is okay to do these sexual things with animals or children, or, you know, just some really bizarre, disturbing behaviors. And, you know, it's just, it goes into the loss of moral standards. It's there, it's got into their culture, you know, and it's just getting sicker and sicker from that end of the spectrum.
Yeah, no doubt about it. NBC News, Chuck Todd dismisses notion of a liberal bias in the media as a GOP talking point that stuck. Wow, I don't even know how Chuck Todd and his wonky eyes could say that with a straight face. You have got to be kidding me. Rob, what are your thoughts on Chuck Todd saying that the notion of a liberal bias in the media is a GOP talking point?
Well, the fact that he won't admit it lets you know that he's lying. Every time this guy's mouth is open, his lips are moving, he's lying. It's obvious. And they've even said it. I mean, look at what was the guy's name? Lester Holt was talking about the truth and, you know, how you have to go out and you have to dispel different things and it's okay. They have all bought into that line of thought that it's okay to be biased. It was that way before President Trump. But when President Trump came on, they just went full throttle, completely out of this world. We're going to do and say whatever we want to say, and we don't care. That has always been their approach when it came to reporting on conservatives or Republicans. Donald Trump just broke the apple cart. They just said, hey, this is full throttle. We're going to do whatever we want to do because we're trying to help people. You're trying to help whom? Who needs your help? You're trying to create a dependency. You don't want people to think. So you guys think that what you're saying is the truth and that we need your truth, whereas you're doing something completely different. If you go home and look at the confounds of their home, everything that they're saying, they're doing just the opposite. So Chuck Todd, you're full of baloney. You have a platform and you're utilizing that platform. I can't even bear to watch those guys anymore because every time they open their mouths, they're lying. They're just liars. That's it. That's what I think.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to believe anything anymore from these networks, especially, you know, as you said, somebody like Chuck Todd. And the thing is that, like, you know, if you look at the ratings of somebody like NBC, CBS, CNN, whatever else, those ratings continue to drop. And at those networks, they just don't really seem to care, because as long as they can keep throwing out stuff that enough people will believe, that they think they're fine. Because, you know, conservatives, people that we call awake, such as ourselves, are turning off basically all forms of this news and social media. And we get our news are real news from the real people like us, podcasts such as this. And it's only gotten worse over the years and especially intensified during the Trump era. I remember how bad they were during the Bush era. You know, how once they went after Bush for basically anything. That was like the test run before Trump. And ironically, we find out now later on that George W. Bush is part of what we call this deep state. So those people, the media, the left, they love him now, especially since he came out and disagreeing with Trump on things, you know, in retrospect. And, you know, it's laughable anymore to even consider something like NBC News as like, oh, that's the news that I really got to watch. I've got to watch Chuck Todd and Lester Holt every night, you know? And unfortunately, there's enough people that will just turn it on. Maybe they don't have cable. Maybe that's part of the routine. I mean, I know when I was growing up, it would be, you know, watching some sort of news, even if there was only, let's say, 3 to 4 stations that really were news stations. You would watch it, and yes, there would be bias, but the bias wasn't nearly as crazy, as demented as you see it now.
Yeah, no doubt about it. NBC is struggling, and if you look at it, even the Olympics are struggling this year. I know, Sean, you are a big sports fan. We see that the Olympics are at a 33-year low in ratings. Very interesting. We've seen the women's soccer team come out and be completely anti-American. We've seen transgenders entered into the Olympics this year. How much do you think this woke BS before the Olympics even started and the narrative of it has just turned people off? And what do you think that has to do with the 33-year low in ratings, if any?
Well, yeah, well, first of all, I mean, you know, looking at, you know, sports in general, because I've been a diehard sports fan for most of my life, right? And, you know, it affected all this wokeness has affected, you know, our major professional sports leagues, where it became okay for these athletes to go kneel for the anthem in some sort of quote unquote protest. And how they, you know, it was the media would say, oh, they're just doing what they believe in. They're fighting for racial equality. Then moving to the Olympics was kind of known as something that, you know, more the casual people could watch, you know, that as opposed to the diehard sports fans. And when it has infiltrated the Olympics as well, because it's like this, I'll watch, you know, if I watch any of the Olympics, which I don't watch much of, you know, you see, you root for an American win, then you have to look up that person's name and say, hey, wait a minute, is this person woke? Is this person really going to salute the American flag if I'm going to cheer for him or her? Well, you know, you really don't know. And, you know, so much of this is like, you know, people's focusing their attention on a 15-year-old gymnast or something, you know, that where the weight of our country and the world is on these 15-year-old gymnasts. It's just getting really, you know, it's just getting really silly. And the Olympics, I would imagine once we get through this one, will be easily the lowest rated one that we have, you know, that we have seen. And this is kind of like these other sports where I'm pretty sure we've had very low ratings for, you know, the NBA Finals, Super Bowl, World Series. It's all kind of gone downhill. And then with the Olympics in Tokyo without fans allowed, I mean, it really gets, you know, it's really reaching a new low point.
And rightfully so. They brought it up on themselves. I've often questioned as to why do our athletes save up all their energy all year round to take it to the Olympics and to show their ugliness toward the country. And this whole thing with, what's her name? Biles?
Simone Biles.
I mean, my position on it is that, okay, so she had a moment. She lost concentration. I get it. She's a gymnast. She's flipping around. And if she loses concentration, she can hurt herself. I get that. I understand it. She did the right thing. But that's nothing to be praised because there are other athletes that get into the zone and they stay in the zone because they have to perform in the zone. Look at the young lady who stayed in the zone and she won. So I don't know why we're bragging about Simone and saying, oh, we should celebrate. No, we should not celebrate that. She lost her concentration and she stepped down, rightfully so. Move out of the way. But we should not look at that and say, well, she has a mental issue. I don't like that, because there are people out there that are really suffering from mental illness, from schizophrenia and other mental disorders. And then to try to lump that all in as the same thing, that is completely wrong. And we're making light of their illnesses. What happened to her is that she had a moment of losing concentration. So she stepped aside. Fine, step aside. You couldn't do it. You choked. Let's just admit it. She choked. And she's got to, you know, get back in the zone. Leave it there. Don't take it any further. And I will say this again. I take my hat off to Shakara Richardson, who messed up with the marijuana thing. I know that different people have a different opinion about it. She messed up. She realized that she broke the rules. And she said, I broke the rules. I've got to pay the price. That's it. She didn't come out and say, they did this to me because I was Black. They did this to me because it wasn't fair. She said, I broke the rules. And she stepped aside. Okay, Simone, you lost concentration. You stepped out of the zone. Maybe you were too much into your boyfriend. Maybe you're looking at all those big contracts you're going to be getting. Okay, now move on. No more to be said. There's no celebration in that. We've got to stop celebrating issues or things like that. There are people that get up, they stay focused, and they get the job done. Now, yes, she could have hurt herself had she chosen to go on and she wasn't focused. I get it. So she stepped aside, leave it. Period. That's it.
Yeah, well said, Rob. And my opinion on the situation is, yeah, it's unfortunate that she stepped aside. Maybe some could call it quitting. I mean, who cares if you do call it that? But the fact is that everything moved on. A replacement took her spot. So she didn't exactly take someone's place going to the Olympics. There were five alternatives. So one of them did take her spot, and the U.S. ended up winning gold in singles. I know we won silver in the team event. So, yeah, I think everyone should just move on, leave Simone Biles alone. Maybe she did get too caught up in herself. She does have a tattoo across on her body that says GOAT, which stands for greatest of all time. And then she pulls this, which is definitely a bad look. But, yeah, great show tonight. Thank you so much to our guest, Sean G. We had a great time talking, as always. Thank you for joining us tonight on After Dark with Rob and Andrew. Check us out and all the other shows over at AmericaOutLoud.com. You can also find America Out Loud on iHeartRadio, Spotify, or Stitcher. We will see you guys next time. And remember, stand for something or you will fall for nothing.